Organizers are hoping for a large turnout at today's anti-war demonstrations in Washington, D.C., the first such protest in the capital since the fall of Baghdad in April. They say they're expecting busloads and carloads of people from 38 states. There will be a parallel march and rally in San Francisco. Todd Gitlin joins us now from our studios in New York City. Mr. Gitlin is a professor of journalism and sociology at Columbia University. He was active in the anti-Vietnam War movement of the 1960s and has written extensively about that period. His latest book is called Letters to a Young Activist. Todd Gitlin, thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Scott.
You were once president of Students for a Democratic Society.
I was.
Which was rather different when you were president of it than the SDS that was to emerge in a few years.
This is also true.
What are some of the distinctions that you see in the anti-war movement now in the United States?
The predictable cleavage between those who say, let's leave, period, it's not our business to try to shape what comes thereafter, everything the U.S. touches is tainted, and those who say we should try to find a way to hand it off to some international grouping, the UN or the UN Plus, and that we do, the U.S. does, whatever you thought of the war in the first place, have obligations to the Iraqis. Mm-hmm. And they're also tactical and strategic cleavages today as there were before. That much is predictable.
Strategic in terms of?
Strategic in the sense, is the goal to create an obstructive movement, mm-hmm. which raises the domestic cost of the U.S. presence in Iraq, or is the objective to build some sort of affirmative political force that can actually go beyond naysaying and actually achieve power or at least substantial influence on its own?
Do you see any evidence, Mr. Gitlin, that the people who are organizing these demonstrations have learned something from activism of the 60s?
They've probably, in general, learned that it's a bad idea to go off the deep end in tactical terms. They've probably learned that it's best to use a patriotic language, a language of affiliation with the deepest of American traditions, rather than an affirmation that the font of goodness is to be found among tyrants elsewhere in the world, although you'll find some of the latter. They've learned to be more strategic, more calculating.
And what ways do you notice that?
The fact that when some groups went into business to organize some of the early demonstrations, and they found it unseemly to criticize Saddam Hussein, other groups sprang into existence who didn't feel that inhibition and who worried out loud and effectively about the propensity of the movement to sort of paint itself into a corner. That recognition cropped up rather early, long before the war itself, and I don't expect it'll go away.
Do you see today's protest movement as being as student-centered as that movement seemed to be at times in the 1960s?
No, I don't think students are at the center of it. I'm not sure if there's any specific demographic that's at the center of it, but it certainly wouldn't be students. And this goes along with the fact that today the opposition to American empire, if you will, is not a position that's associated with a particular cultural stance. There's no organized counterculture. There's no sort of widespread disaffiliation. There's a lot of anger at George Bush and his policies. That's the common element. But it's not a revolutionary position that's in play. It's not a position that says the war in Iraq is the incarnation of everything grotesque and deformed about American culture and society. That we don't hear a lot of that. There's a trace of it around the edges of the demonstrations, but there's not a lot of it. It's a much more pragmatic and targeted sort of movement.
Do you see political power as either stemming from or attached to the protests at this point?
Well, the force of the anti-war protests last winter, I think, certainly fueled the Howard Dean's campaign in the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. and exercised a considerable force on other candidates in the Democratic primary. But the protests themselves, as we come into the last 12 months of the interminable electoral cycle, I don't think will be the major carriers of this sentiment. I think that the recognition on the part of anti-war people that Bush stands in the way of their getting anything they want is the decisive factor. And those who are aiming to, as the phrase goes, make a difference, are going to try to do it in capital P electoral politics this year.
Mr. Gitlin, thank you very much.
Pleasure, Scott.
Todd Gitlin, who teaches journalism and sociology at Columbia University. His latest book is Letters to a Young Activist.